Sing that with me now. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Don't be shy. All I ask. To be like Him. All through life's journey. From earth to glory. All I ask. To be like, that was a good first try. How about a second? Here we go. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask. To be like Him. All through life's journey. From earth to glory, all I ask, to be like Him. How many would say, that's my heart's prayer also, just want to be like Him, amen. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mullins to come forward, and he has an announcement to make for us.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Next week, I guess, they're going to break the Sunday school classes back up.
Right? Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
I'm going to start teaching in here again. So we're going to get going again. And I've got planned a 12-week class on the life of Christ.
Amen.
We're going to be looking at the life of Christ in detail, the culture, the land that He came into, the political mess. We have political problems in those days. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting 12 weeks to talk about Christ. In great detail, Paul had wrote a letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 3. He starts a verse out and says, without controversy. That means the reality of Christ. Folks, we really need to think about the reality of Christ and really what He means to us.
Amen.
Sometimes as senior Christians, we can go through the motions of church and Sunday school and life, and we really need to think about the reality of what that man did, what that God did, God-man. And it's a great study. It's going to be interesting, and I look forward to having you folks here. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. And as he mentioned, next week, we will get run out of here, our class will. Victory Bible class, we get our room back. In the chapel, and so we'll head back there, and then we have other classes that are represented here as well. They'll go back to their class. The ladies will go back to the famous blue room, and where they sip tea and eat crumpets every Sunday morning. I'm making that up, okay? Don't believe that. I didn't read that out of the Word of God, so don't believe that. And then the men's class will go back just down the hallway, first door on the right. And so keep that in mind. Next Sunday, we go back to normal, or what some folks consider normal. Amen. Others might not consider normal. And so we're excited about that. Before we pray this morning, I'd like to mention this. Ann Rem's brother, his name is Cyrus Schaffner. He is a pastor. He fell off a barn roof yesterday. Let's keep him in prayer. He has a brain bleed. And you know how dangerous that is. Many of you know of someone that has experienced that before. So we need to lift him up in prayer this morning and pray for him. And we have others that are on our prayer list. We won't take the time to go through every single name, but you know the names. You've prayed for them on a daily basis. And we have a lot of praises, too. We're starting to see several faces yes, go ahead and be seated. I'm sorry. Here I am torturing everybody, making them stand. I've heard it said before, you have to. Well, I have to stand all the whole time. No, I won't do that to you. Many of you have starting to see faces of those that that have had to be away for health concerns, and they're coming back, and it's so great to get to see their faces again and to be able to say hi. We miss that, don't we? We have to have that interaction. You know, I've always considered myself an introvert and always considered myself not very social. And Carmen, along the way, in our 31 years of being married, has reminded me of the fact that I need social interaction. As much as I would say I don't, and she's right, as they are most of the time, you know, they're right. She's right. It does me good. You know, being at church, being in a Sunday school class, being together does us more good than it does anybody else. We think that we're blessing others with our presence when actually we're blessed by your presence. I need you. I need to hear your voice. I need to feel that handshake. For those of us that get a hug on a Sunday morning, I remember Carmen and I were in Mexico, and Carmen was struggling with the language. But one thing that's universal is a hug. She would give the ladies a hug, and they loved that. They looked for that. They missed that when she wasn't able to be there. So it means a lot. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll begin. I'm excited about what I have to share this morning. Because it's in the Word of God, and it does me good. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be together. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We want to lift up Cyrus Schaffner this morning. Lord, you know why certain things take place in our life, and we call them accidents. But Lord, you allow certain things to happen in spite of who we are. And you allow that for a reason. So, Lord, we just pray that your hand of healing would touch his body. And, Lord, I pray that you would stop the bleeding in his brain. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help him to recover soon. May it be in such a way that everyone surrounding his situation, the doctors, the nurses, the family, they would say, only God could have done this. May it bring and draw people to you, we pray. Bless our time this morning in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing our series in basic Bible doctrines. So this morning we get to speak about prayer. Now, I will not be touching even the remote hem of the garment, if you would, figuratively speaking, about prayer. Prayer is an extensive subject. This is just skipping the rock across the water, and we're just hitting some high points. This is just an introductory, brief lesson to prayer, and we'll probably split it up into two lessons. And for those of us that will be going back to our respective classes, go back to your respective classes, amen. And you can hear it online, I'm sure, or something. Well, I'll throw the notes at you or whatever. But I don't mean to do that on purpose, but we're going to start this. It's so amazing what we have in prayer. And have you noticed that every single lesson that we've covered so far in this little small series, they're all benefits, they're all the blessings of having been saved. It's everything that we get when we get saved. Now, I'm not in it for what I can get out of it. I'm in it because of the grace of God. I'm only here, I'm only saved because God saw fit to have a Detroit City taxi driver come by the house in Westland, Michigan, and knock on the door and haul a bunch of bratty, snotty-nosed, misbehaved children for 1 year on his bus to the church. That's the only reason why I'm here. I'm not here on my own. God saw fit for me to be here. But what a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing it is. And there's so many things that accompany salvation. And there's so many things that we have. And you know, it's just like, I liken it to having grown up for 20 years living 8 blocks from the Gulf of Mexico. And you want to know how many times I went to the beach? I would be ashamed to admit because it was right there and we didn't go. And now that I'm so far away, I daydream and I think, Dan, you're such a dummy. All that time, you could have gone every day if you wanted to. You could have walked every day, and I did not. So many times in our Christian life, we have so many things that are available to each and every one of us that we do not avail ourselves of, and it's there to use. Prayer is one of them. Someone once said that a Christian is only as strong as his prayer life. And there's a great deal of truth in that statement. But prayer is our direct communication with God. And I will emphasize, it is our direct communication with God. The Bible says that we don't have to have a mediator. If you want to call a mediator, then Christ Jesus would be a mediator. But you have that individual soul liberty. You have Christ in you. You have direct access to the God of the universe through prayer, through the mention of His name. That is an amazing, miraculous, tremendous gift to the believer. How many times do we avail ourselves of that? When we read the Bible, we know God speaks to us. When we pray, we speak to God. Is it that simple? It's that simple. It's not complicated. God didn't make it complicated because He knew that Dan couldn't handle anything any more complicated than that. When I read, He speaks to me. When I pray, I speak to Him. That's how simple. And our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ cannot and will not grow without proper communication. You can't just have one of those. You need both. I need Him to speak to me. And then I need to talk to Him. He doesn't need me. He's proven that. He did just fine without me. Before I showed up, He did just fine. He created the world without me. In fact, He created the world without any of man's help. Man wasn't created until the last day of creation. Remember that? He didn't need us to design anything. And it's a wonderful thing that we can add anything, or we think we can add anything, but we don't. He's just fine without us. I need Him. My growth in Christ hinges on proper communication. So the purpose of this lesson is just to acquaint a believer with the basics of proper prayer so that the lines of communication can be open and effective in our life. And if you've never done so, it would be nice to keep a list of requests and answers to those prayers. It's just a suggestion. A lot of times we focus on the requests and we give very little attention to the answers to those requests. But we would be amazed if we go back in our life and we start remembering all the things that God answered. And sometimes the answers came in ways that we did not expect. A lot of times we expect something very similar to an email or a text message. All right, done, smile emoji, send. We expect that because we live in that kind of world, but God doesn't operate that way. Sometimes He'll shock us. He'll sneak an answer in and we don't even notice it at the moment. And then later on we go like, wait a minute. Wait, God just took care of that for me. And they're like, oh my soul, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So prayer is simply talking with God. I've done this before, and because of the size of the group this morning and the fact that we're online, I won't take time to do this, but I've done this in a smaller setting. I have used this exercise of speaking to the Lord with my eyes open, out loud, in front of God and everybody. And you know how uncomfortable that is? Because what do? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, let's pray. Everybody goes into immediate prayer posture. Right? It's automatic. And yet, prayer is communicating with God. My wife, just a few moments ago, was at the piano, and she was playing. What song were you playing initially? It is no secret what God can do. And my brain is really weird, okay? It's just super weird. And she was playing that, and I was singing that in my head. But that's not the song that I was going to start out with. We were going to start it to be like Jesus. And for the life of me, I could not put in my brain the tune to be like Jesus when she was playing "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." And maybe many of you are like that. I made the biggest mistake at my wedding, not in getting married. Hold on just a second. But in thinking that I could sing to my bride while I was in my own wedding. And we sang the song, "I Cherish the treasure of you." How sweet, right? And beautiful and romantic. And so the music started. And we were standing there holding each other's hands. And I said, "How does it start?" And she said, "I cherish the treasure." I said, "No, how does it start?" She said, "I cherish the treasure." It's the title of the song. And it starts with the title of the song. "No, but how does it start?" She said, "I cherish the treasure." Just a little bit ago, I just walked over and I said, "How does it start?" I asked her, I said, "What song are we singing this morning?" I'm the one that makes the order of services. I'm the one that puts music in the books. "What are we singing?" She goes, "To Be Like Jesus." I'm like, "Okay, how's it go?" I was talking to her, but you guys didn't know that. Do you know that I say this, and it's kind of funny, but that's how we interact with each other, especially somebody that you've lived with that long. You can just look at someone, at your spouse, and you can communicate. When you're going into a social setting and you do the nod, and she's got you. She's got it, man. She walks in and, boy, it's on. You know, "Hey," you know, it gets on. She already knows what you're thinking. And we don't know what she's thinking, but she always already knows what you're thinking. And did you know that speaking to God, No disrespect at all here. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about something sweet. I'm talking about something, and I'll use the word not in a bad way, but it's something very intimate, very close. You can talk to God that way? "Dear Lord, I need help." And you're whispering that under your breath. You speak to God. A lot of times we don't think of it that way. A lot of times we think we gotta, "Dear Heavenly Father, you know, bring it down, you know." You don't have to bring anything down. He's in your heart. Is he not? He's right here. And here in just a few moments, we're even gonna look at a verse where the Holy Spirit, when you don't know what to say, he says, "I got this." And he takes what you want to say that you can't verbalize, and he carries it to the Father. He tells him, "Hey, what he really means to say, or what she means to say, is this." It's a beautiful thing. Prayer is both a privilege and a necessity for every child of God. It's a privilege in that we have instant access and communication with the Creator of the universe. The moment we begin our prayer, we have God's undivided attention, and we cannot wrap our little peanut brain around that. because to us, and he is, God is so huge and big and vast and powerful and almighty, and he is. And our little brains cannot capture the fact that that God can pay undivided attention to us. We can't hardly be in a restaurant eating our food, conversing with someone across the table, and the person next door, whose volume level supersedes everybody else's in the entire restaurant, we're listening to what they're saying and we lose track of what we're speaking about because we focused on what they're... We can't even do that. And God will focus on you and you alone at that moment. How does he do that? He's God. That's how. The moment we begin our prayer, we have his attention. It's a necessity because the physical and spiritual burdens of life are great. And there is no one more capable of meeting our every need than our Heavenly Father. And through our prayer, we are able to have wonderful fellowship with our Lord. Prayer is so much more than taking a list of needs to God. Our prayer time is time with God. It's our time to express our love and our devotion to the Lord. It's our time to praise Him, to thank Him for the many blessings that He brings into our life every day. And every individual that is saved, that has Christ in their heart, has access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at that really quick. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, our mediator and great high priest. Verse 14 of chapter 4 of Hebrews says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Isn't that interesting that it uses that word, the feeling of our infirmities? Because you can be sick, but it feels horrible to be sick. And he's touched with how bad you feel when you're sick. "But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin," the Bible says. And then he says in verse 16, "So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." How many of you grew up with one of those dads in the neighborhood that was a little more stern than the rest and a little bit more strict than the rest? And if anything was going to happen, it happened at your house. You weren't allowed to go to somebody else's house and cut up. If you're going to do any cutting up, it was going to be in your front yard or in your backyard, and you came to them and they opened their house up. Mom and dad did for you. How many had one of those dads? And the neighborhood kids would say, "Is it all right?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, he's good. Yeah, but he looks mad. Oh no, he's good. Hey dad, how's it going?" You know? And you were very comfortable with the fact that your friends were there, but they weren't necessarily as comfortable with the fact that he was there and he had that watchful eye. And I'm not so sure, but what our dads didn't do that on purpose. They're like, they didn't want the neighborhood kids to get too comfortable. But you would like, "Oh no." We'd say, "He's cool. He's cool. Yeah, hey, see, I'll crack a joke, you know, kind of break the ice a little bit. He's good." A lot of times we approach God like he doesn't want anything to do with us. Think about it. He don't want anything to do. Now remember, this is the God that when Adam and Eve, after he had prepared something very beautiful and perfect, an environment that everyone would desire to live in, he just wanted to have communion with mankind. He created that perfect environment and man blew it because of something that he wanted to do, just because he wanted to do it. This is the God that said, you know what, I still love that man and that woman. So I'm going to create a way, make a way to restore that broken relationship. This is the God that sends his own son to pay the ultimate price for sin. Now, remember, and I'm doing this on purpose, let us remember what he did for us just so that he can have a relationship with us. And many times we're like, oh no, we can't approach that one. No, he wants you to. He created all this. He made a way just so that you can have that relationship with him. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to read his word. He desires that. He loves it. He basks in that. Don't ask me why. That part I can't explain to you. After he knows who we are. He knows you even better than you know you. And he still wants that. Hard to comprehend, but that's the God that desires us. Now, really quick, number two, many great things can be accomplished through prayer. Look at Philippians real quick with me, if you would. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So he's saying here, listen, don't be, when it says be careful for nothing, it's not saying, we understand it sometimes, it's like, just throw all caution to the wind and just go for it. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't be worried about anything, but let your prayer and supplication and requests, those three things say basically the same thing. Help! Let those be made known unto God. And when you mix in thanksgiving, you're not just demanding from God, you're thanking him, and in a posture of humility and thanksgiving, you're saying, listen, I need to bring this to you. This is something that I can't handle on my own. If we do that, he says that he's going to answer our prayer, right? No, he doesn't. Sorry. He doesn't. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, What is it going to do? It's going to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So he says, if you come to me like that, with that, he said, I'm going to give you not just peace. He doesn't say he's just going to give you peace. He says he's going to give you his peace. There's a difference. What is God ever worried about? Whatever surprises God. Class? Nothing. Whatever sneaks up on God, or what does God say? Oh man, I didn't figure that in. Nothing. That peace, that tranquility, that calm, he says, it's yours. So he doesn't say he's going to answer everything we ask, but he does say he'll give us his peace when we approach him with our prayer, our supplication, and our requests. When we do that with thanksgiving, he says he'll give us that peace. Many things can be accomplished through prayer. Can you imagine if every single difficult time in your life, if you approached it And we're looking in the past real quick, briefly. If you had approached that with complete calm and peace, how much better would that time have gone for you? Looking into the future, as you see things coming up on the horizon, for some of us, it could be change of life stuff. For some of us, it could be a sickness that has presented itself in our lives and it has totally changed our life. From now on, what would God's peace in your life, in every situation that you're facing from now on, what would it change in your life? How would you react, or how would you handle that thing now with God's peace? It's a game changer. James chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Whoo, that's a different subject for a different time, isn't it? And pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what does it do? It availeth, or it accomplisheth much. Much. Someone wrote, poverty stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Many people have said that prayer changes things, but one thing is for certain: prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. Proverbs chapter 3, again, we're looking at many verses, and I do not apologize for that, but don't be concerned if you don't find them fast. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do not lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What does acknowledge mean? What does acknowledge mean? Acknowledge, I think sometimes we think we have to recognize somebody by, and by the way, I'm not saying that God is not worthy of this, but he is worthy of this in so much more than anything. But acknowledge is just acting like he exists. How many times do we go about on a daily basis and we make a decision and we go through life and we go through life as if he wasn't even there? But we have our prayer time. I'm going to be sarcastic for just a second. We have our Bible reading time. That's at certain time of the day. That's when we open it up for God to, you know, show up and make himself real in my life. Do you see where I'm going with this? That's not for God. God is literally our everything. You've heard the term, he is our all in all. He's my breath. He's my heartbeat. I don't make one step without him allowing every single bone in my body to work like it's supposed to, or else I don't walk. That's who God is in my life. I don't give him time. He's my time. I don't allow him to be part of something. He is my everything. I'm not here if it weren't not for him. And I think we just need to just switch our mentality a little bit, our heart in this. In all thy ways, just act like he's there. And he'll direct your paths. He'll do it if you let him. He will never force it, though. It's just like salvation. He made a complete way for us to come to him, and he just lays it out. He provides everything. And then he says, man, I'm here. But he never forces it, because forced love is not love. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Every time we go through our day, and you say, well, Brother Dan, you mean you're telling me that I need to be like one of them Franciscan monks that just lock themselves up somewhere and just hole up and then put a cap on their head and then just walk around just praying every day, all day. No, that's not what he says. He says, just act like he's there. Just act like he's there. As you're driving, you leave work every morning. How many ways can you get to work? How many different routes can you take to work? And in your mind, a number popped in your head. What if you were to say, which one should I take today, Lord? Maybe you'll escape that craziness on that one road where somebody decides that fog is just a figment of your imagination and just plows right through it. I mean, it could be that God has so many things in store for you, and he has so many things that he wants to keep you from. You know, sometimes I think we're our worst enemy. It's there for us. What if we were to say, and how many times have I been reminded, and how many times has God used my wife to remind me? Have you prayed about it? You got to bring that up. And I say that like that because I'm frustrated with my own self because I didn't do that in the very beginning. What if I would have said, Lord, it's in your hands. Show me what you want me to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Prayer changes us. Number two, through prayer, we fight spiritual warfare. Every day, we're in a battle as a believer, and it's a spiritual battle. God's word is very clear that we are spiritually at war. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Again, these are things we know. We know this. We've read this. We've studied this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are never going to be strong enough. You will never be close enough. You will never be good enough. We need his power. I can't do it in my own power. I'm not enough. He is enough. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wouldn't it be something if, just as in Scripture, when one of the prophets asked the Lord to open the eyes of the young man that was caring for him and helping him, and he said, Lord, just let him see. Just give him a little glimpse of what's going on out there. And God did. And what in the world did he see? He saw a whole host, a whole entire holy army just standing there, just saying, you just go ahead and touch him. You go ahead and lay a finger on him and see what happens to you. There is a war out there that is happening on a realm that many times we won't acknowledge because maybe it frightens us, but it's real. It's spiritual. We fight it every day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So because that's what's up, verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you can be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then it gives us a list of things that we can avail ourselves of that are given to us as a believer to help us in that spiritual battle. Prayer is that. Prayer is that. Through prayer, we fight spiritual warfare. And then number next, and this will be all that I'll be able to get to today, but through prayer, we also acknowledge our submission to the will and the way of God. Our life is to be lived out in total obedience to God. Did you get that? Partial obedience is not obedience. It's disobedience. We saw that example with Saul. He said, but I did this. Yeah, but you didn't obey totally. So that becomes that null and void. That's total disobedience. Paul encourages us in Romans 12 to surrender our bodies to God. 12:1-2, and to allow God's word to do what? To renew our minds. And through prayer, we acknowledge our submitting. We're saying, as Christ said to his Father, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Not mine, but yours. Now, would you agree with me? I know you will. Who can do it better than you? Can God do it better than you? Amen. Who knows more than you know? God does. Who knows everything past, present, and future in your life? God does. Who could handle this better than you can? God can. Why do we not submit? Isn't that funny in a way? It's comical in a way because we as puny humans think that we have achieved a certain level in our walk with the Lord that we've got this. And I'm talking about Dan here. I'm not talking about anybody else in this room but Dan. I've got this. I got Jesus. We're good. And then I'll walk off and I won't even acknowledge him and I'll fall flat on my face and then I go, oops. Maybe I should have checked with him first. Amen. Prayer is acknowledging our submission to the will and the way of God. Truth be told, many times we don't want that because we know what God's will is. And it differs to my will. Rubber meet the road, that's where it's at. I want to do a certain thing and I really want that bad. But I suspect that God may not want that for my life for whatever reason. Not a bad reason. Doesn't have to be a bad reason. Prayer helps us acknowledge and submit to that when we say, not my will, but thine be done. May we become people that avail ourselves of this great tool. And we're not done with this. We'll continue on. There's many more things that prayer accomplishes in our life. And we'll see that in the next week in our Sunday school class. But may we be people that avail ourselves of this great gift that we call prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. Help us to acknowledge and submit in obedience to your will in our lives through prayer. Through doing just simply what you would have us do, Lord, may we communicate with you as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. We'll see you in just a few moments. Looking forward to the service that follows.